No, it's fine.
So Bongani, you have a thing called Black Love and a book called Black Love and a book that I haven't read, which I don't know, I'm so embarrassed because I should have been the first one to read it. Do you have copies on you? If at all, okay, no, it's fine. And I hate it when people say that to me, by the way, yep, with my book. Do you have copies? As if So what is Black Love to you? What do you mean? And go as far and narrow and broad and whatever as you like.
Wow. I think we I have a simple answer to that.
Yeah.
An answer that is very straightforward and simple in terms of what Black Love is.
Mm-hmm.
So we've managed to engage on the Facebook group in terms of what Black Love is and what's it about. And in simple terms, Black Love is what you do. So love is that which you do. And that which you do is you. So
that which you do is you.
Yes.
Okay.
So now, Black Love is what you do. It's a verb, as they say. Those who know English very well will say it's
like
a verb.
Like
it's something you do.
Okay.
So now then, in that simple sense, it means that it's everything that you do, everything about you that you do, that is Black Love. Now, to give you a ideological idea or theoretical idea about that would then imply that I also make the comparison that Black Love is Ubuntu.
Okay.
Right? Because Ubuntu is also about what you do.
Ah,
right?
Now I see the link. Okay.
Yes. Ubuntu is also about what you do. Right?
You can't stand there and say you can actually say it. Mm-hmm. Ubuntu is a doing thing. It's welcoming you in my home, receiving you, helping you out, holding your hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's motion. It's movement.
It's reality.
It's a reality, yeah.
And when it comes to Ubuntu, the biggest question is for most Blacks in terms of what is love for Black people. Right? A lot of media platforms have also struggled with that question in terms of what is Black Love, and they've also failed to connect it with it's the everyday things that we do. That's Black Love. You know? I mean, if you have to ask a parent, someone who's 50 or 60, what is love to them? And how do they know that their partners love them? They would tell you, no, umfazi wami wenza so, umfazi wami wenza so. No, indoda yami iyaphangela, iyangondla, yabo, iyanginakekela, safety, provision, security.
That's interesting.
And building the home.
Yeah.
Now, and doing whatever chores that are there on a daily basis for them, you know? Those are the things then that they would describe as love.
Wow.
Now, it's what you do, you know?
Wow, I see.
So that's why now we would not have an answer, a smart Western answer in terms of what love is in the romantic sense, you know?
This reminds me of Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what your question was on your wall or Black Love platform, but it had to do with should we be doing something on Valentine's Day like the West does, where we go to dinner or lunch and flowers and chocolates and all that. How do we as Black people locate ourselves within that spectrum of what love is or what showing love is? What was your question exactly, and what did the people say?
I think the question mainly is around the fact that you have been introduced now to something
called Valentine's.
That's called Valentine's Day, right? And we see it all over television, we see it at shopping malls, it's being advertised everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, it has never been something that we practice or culture to our own, you know? So I think that's also the biggest problem about South Africa being a developing state between first world and third world.
Yeah.
Because now you are third world, but you're introduced to all of these things that are first world,
yes,
you know?
Yes, we are sitting in a very first world space
exactly.
right now. Very, very. And,
so now,
you know.
So now the problem becomes then those contradictions, because now you are there in the third world, they are showing you these first world things, and then what then do you do, you know? It's there on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, you have someone sitting in a shack, right? They have DSTV.
I'm thinking the exact same thing.
They have DSTV, so they can see what happens on The Bold and the Beautiful. They can see what's happening. So now, how then do they address those differences in terms of what should we be doing as a couple as we're sitting in this shack? Shouldn't we be doing what Bo and Hope is doing? And all of those things.
Oh my God,
you know?
You're so old. You're talking about Bo and Hope. Wow.
So, so now it's about that in terms of, I think what Valentine's Day should be able to enable us to do is to actually always try to question and find out what love means for us.
Yeah.
It should not be about the practice of actually having to majority having to do whatever is said to be done on that particular day.
Mm.
But however, more importantly, having to understand what is it that is required and what do we do and then how would we best want to do things. Hence, from my side, I would love for people to understand that Valentine's Day would be a day whereby we ask what's black love and get to find out that black love is actually about the things that we are already doing. Not the things
very,
that I must do. It's the things that we are already doing, not what we must do, you know?
Yeah, you know what, while you're on that, how do you think about, in the same thing, Valentine's, there was this big joke around men's conference, and what it basically means, obviously, is that a lot of black men are rejecting the entire Valentine's story. But it was a joke. I mean, I laughed at a lot on, I mean, I saw Twitter and all that. How, underneath that, underneath the joke, what do you think it is?
Underneath the joke, it's the frustrations, you know?
Okay.
I think we are a very frustrated society. I mean, to be honest with you, there's nothing more frustrating than not being able to do what society is telling you should be doing. You know?
Oh, wow.
And for most...
That's a good sentence. There's nothing as frustrating as not being able to do what society expects of you or expects you to do.
To do. Now,
it is frustrating.
And Kumbule Kaya is a program that deals mostly with absent fathers.
Yeah.
Now, men, black men, have only known how to respond or have only best known to respond in terms of running away.
Yeah.
Because when your power is stripped off completely, you just don't want to be there. There's no way. Black men don't have that strength of sticking it out and being able to go through that pain of not being able to do what is expected of you to do. So you'd find that absent fathers, it starts with the man's inability to do what he's supposed to be doing. And then turns out badly in terms of it gets prolonged sometimes and then he vanishes.
Yeah. Because
it's the same thing
much,
now.
Yeah.
They hear the 14th of February is coming. What do they do?
Let's like
run.
There's a men's conference. This is quite powerful. Yeah, this is very profound what you're saying.
They run. And they literally run it, you know.
You know, yeah, because now I'm thinking the crowd of men you'll find on Facebook, you know, give or take, are not the shack dwellers, you know, and I'm just really being general here, especially those who engage in those kind of
topics.
Discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and it talks to the fact that money is not necessarily an issue. It's a guy that can easily take me out to dinner or buy me flowers or whatever. But so the running is not this one. It's not about material things. Are there other societal pressures that talk to a man like that who would run from a Valentine's evening with me, for an example? What is that? Am I making sense? Do you understand my question?
You are making sense because it goes back to what love is again. The differences between love in the sense of blackness or Africanness, which is black love, and love in the sense of a Western world, which is romance. Now, those are the two differences. You give a man a million, but does it make him romantic? No.
You see? Oh my God, so ukaye yilo mntwana abantu ukuthi lo so ngikalaphi. Where do I begin with this one? Yeah.
You can give a man a million, but that doesn't actually know how to be spontaneous and chivalry. Mm. That does not exist.
You know, that reminds
me. So it's running away from those particular things in that sense that he really does not know what does planning entail, you know?
Yeah.
He does not even know how to walk into a store and buy those flowers and walk around with those flowers in public. So those are the things that he is running away from.
Oh my goodness, Bongani. Yes, which in as much as it sounds very simplistic, it is so profound what you are saying. I'll give you an example with me and the famous plus one, my guy. In 2015, I vowed, because I come from a very feminist perspective where I used to think Valentine's is commercial, it's Western. I come from that world, you know my journey. And I remember thinking, I want to go on the other side. I want to embrace things that I don't understand, dissect them, make sense of them, and then reject something that I know why I'm rejecting it, not because it's a knee-jerk reaction. And I said to him, you know what, we're going to do Valentine's. And you remember I posted it on Facebook and people were laughing and stuff like that. And what I found, and it's talking to what you think we should do with Valentine's is like, what I found is that we went to dinner, something that we do often, by the way. And because there was the fact that it's Lover's Day, we started talking about the relationship. We started talking about how we feel, where we are, where is it going, where the concerns are, is this still working for you, are you okay? So that was year one. 2016, we spontaneously did it again. Because so, hey, listen, it's Valentine's, let's do it. Then 2017, we've been doing it. And it's getting... It becomes an annual review, if you know what I mean, of, okay, so baby, that ain't working. And I think that's how we, Tina, as a couple, has done it. And it's less about the flower, because I get the flowers all the time. I even buy myself because I love flowers in the house. It's less about the chocolate. It's less about lingerie, even. Sometimes you get to bed and you sleep after Valentine's. But it does something to the psyche that, you know what, in the middle of life and its difficulties and challenges, there is that day where we can just connect differently than the daily connection. So Mina, I endorse it, I embrace it, and I think we should probably call it Black Love Day. Let's take it.
Something like that is definite. I think I've also had thoughts around the fact that ideally, it should be a day of reflection. I even thought that the men's conference should actually happen.
Dude!
But...
You see?
But men then don't run away alone.
Okay.
They then run away with their partners.
Okay.
And then they all gather in conference.
On Valentine's Day?
Yes. And it couldn't be something
black, black women and men in one room. I see claws, I see nails.
So actually, I thought that that's actually one thing that can happen, right? And then secondly, I also saw the need for black men to have their conference.
No, definitely. That one I support.
So we're busy now with a men's conference that we are going to do in June.
Yeah.
Around Father's Day.
Okay.
Because it's a cry out. Men are actually, that's a cry out. They are crying out for something, and that something should be addressed, you know? It's a cry out in terms of love itself, whereby men don't actually know what to do.
Yeah.
They are running away.
Yeah.
It's a cry out, in fact, in terms of men unnaturally feeling it inside that, guys, we need to gather, and we need to address certain issues, you know? And I think it would be the most profound thing for men to gather and actually discuss what love means for men and what the role is for a man in his own individual personal capacity, what his duty is to his children, his duty to his wife, his duty to his girlfriend or lady, and then his duty to his family and his duty to society, right? And how then all that links up with love, you know? So...
Can I come?
They need just that.
I'll just come and record, and then I'll witness to it, and then I'll share with my creator community. But you know, it sounds amazing, honestly.
I mean, there's a couple of guys that I'm working with. Mm. They want women to be part of it. Mm. But then what I'm saying is that they're arguing that women should not be left out. Mm. And my argument is that sometimes we need to respect the current thinking of men. Mm. Because we should understand that as much as we are liberal in some sense, and we know that women can be in those spaces, but think of the millions of other men who are not at that level yet. Mm-hmm. So now the minute now you start saying that let's have a men's conference, women are allowed,
shut him down. Exactly. He's going to be quiet.
So now we shouldn't always be too far ahead of things. We should always think about what they also think. Mm. And then it's in those spaces that we actually get to teach them that women should be doing this, women should be doing that. They should be able to take a back seat, and they also should be seeing real experiences in terms of what we are talking about. Mm. So that men's conference is really needed, because men should be able to appreciate also what love is, you know? Mm. In the same sense that I've never had a father who said, I love you, but I never needed him to say it. I know it.
That is so
you know?
Powerful. Yeah.
But I know it.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it's from what he does.
Yeah. You know. Mm, so now it's those things that we need to express, because sometimes you can actually get depressed unnecessarily so, because you could not read the signs. Mm. You know. Mm.
They were just too much of it. They're too coded. You couldn't break the code.
Too coded. You couldn't.
No, this is how he's expressing love. Okay. Now that we've gone this route, let me ask, because I wouldn't have been done my job if I don't ask this. Men are trash. Powerful hashtag. I personally don't endorse it. I think you know my reasons. But one of my reasons is anything that dehumanizes anyone, for me, it already is a problem. It's stepping away from the cause, because I always feel like, in as much as men have done atrocious things to us women, I've seen it, my mom, my aunt, my friend, it's there, you know, you hear it every day, and they call us names and all that. I don't think that the retaliation should be to do the same. Even with race, by the way. So I think that's where my liberalism comes in, or centrist, depending on how you are hearing me. What do you think men are trash hashtag has brought or can possibly bring? Because I do understand where it's coming from. I just personally don't endorse it, but I get it. You know, I hope I'm making sense. I get it. You, as a guy who is very open-minded, very smart, deep thinker, where do you think this hashtag can take us positively, and where do you think it can take us negatively? Paint a scenario.
Examples are always good.
Yes,
good, because they make it easy to understand, you know.
Yeah.
And they give proof.
Yeah.
So if when you look at what a hashtag like men are trash and the campaign itself, then you have to think of similar things and what has happened. You know? A very easy example, we can touch on race, for example.
Yeah, right? No, definitely. They're all one.
Or even better, we can use something that we've always known, like calling men dogs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, men are dogs.
So you call men dogs. Zizi Jalis. What they then start to do.
Hey, we are dogs. We are dogs. Whoa, whoa. Okay, so continue.
What they then do is that they start appropriating that name.
Yeah.
They start owning it.
Ooh.
And then it does no harm to them anymore.
Oh. It's like this thing that Jay-Z did with the hip-hop culture in America, adopting nigger.
Yes, exactly.
Such that it loses its sting.
It
you call me a nigger, yeah, fuck you,
yeah.
You know?
Call us dogs, so what? We are dogs, this is it.
Yeah.
In Jayan.
Stuff like that. Oh my God, Bongani.
Yeah, so now.
And the other guys who started calling each other trash.
Exactly.
They're joking about it.
So it's going to gravitate towards a point where men will start owning it.
It means nothing.
And it's going to mean nothing, you know? So it's, those are the things you need to think about.
In terms of,
that's the danger, and that men will start owning it, and then it will mean nothing, right? Mm. And then what that means then, what the campaign was about will be lost.
Mm. Mm.
Then you would have to think of another campaign,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It only works in a positive manner whereby men really get to say, look guys, we are being called this. This is our behavior.
Mm.
Let's start working around changing this particular behavior.
Yeah.
Now that's the positive side of it. And I think sometimes you need a few mad individuals to start triggering society,
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So now we should accept that. Mm. That's the only good thing about it is that it is so...
It kickstarts, it's so loud
and it's kickstarting something, right?
Yeah.
But then now beyond that, you would then need other campaigns that would actually work towards getting results, you know? So the Men Are Trash was necessary. It has done its work in terms of igniting the flame.
Mm.
But the danger is that you continue with that, you're going to antagonize men more, and then at the end of the day, you're going to end up with nothing.
Mm.
So now, then what we should think about now is then, how then do we take that and then convert it into something, into another campaign that's going to yield much more positive results?
You know, when you're talking about that, like, okay, fine, it did what it did, and we're taking it, we need to now mobilize something educational or whatever the case is. I remember I had a very heated WhatsApp back and forth discussion with one of my radical feminist friends, because they are my friends, and she was extremely livid that I am not endorsing this, and I had the audacity to say it on Facebook. And so my line of questioning was along those lines, that okay, so what else then will happen after this message is there? Is there anything else that we can do? And guess what the response was? Hey, and I laughed. And it's like, why should women do everything? And what makes this funny is that you can't then start that. You can't light a big fire and not be part of making it a manageable, such that it's not running wild and destroying everything. You have to be part and parcel of, it's difficult. What frustrates me about extremism is that it's very lazy, you know, and a lot of people who choose extreme positions do not have the engine or the capacity to actually work through the difficult process. This thing is big. This thing of black men and women hating each other the way we do is huge, and it's going to require a lot of time, a lot of patience, a lot of irritation. Mm-hmm. So I find that extreme positions, we can't take the heat, but we want to start it.
Yep.
And so this is why I'm like, okay, you know, and it might turn into men owning the name and calling each other trash, and then rapping about it.
Exactly.
And then a whole new industry of hip hop begins with Men Are Trash.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that.
So yeah, I think it's continuing on that basis, because
we are flowing.
We shouldn't always just raise particularly issues, but also try to maybe bring ideas to develop any particular idea that we talk about. So now, ideally, what you would want to have after having Men Are Trash, then you would think about something that's positive, right? So now you have Men Are Trash, then I think it would be more powerful than to have, subsequent to that, a campaign that would be the opposite of Men Are Trash, that focuses on the good, you know? So I was laughing about when we were doing the posters for the men's conference.
Yeah.
So now it's going to address issues of violence and what.
But are you by any chance working them, with Bailey or not?
No.
Oh, okay.
They have a different one.
Okay.
The problem with the one come Bailey is that they've also chosen the blacks only narrative.
Oh, I see.
And I said, but it's, no.
Yeah, I see. We'll talk about that, by the way. We'll get into the
whole blacks only thing. We were supposed to do it, all of us, but then, as the African Solidarity Forum, we said no, but we don't get the blacks only thing, because sometimes you can do a black men's convention and allow everyone to come, and you will still have 99% attendees black without you even saying blacks only. So why do we always have to say blacks only? Because at the end of the day, the attendance figures will still prove to be blacks only. So you don't necessarily have to shout it out loud and say blacks only, you know?
In fact, now that you've started that, maybe let's go there. What is wrong with black with owning that? There is another organization that doesn't want white people that I know of, very big.
BLF.
There's BLF, Abantu Book Fair, and you know, it's positions that I respect. But what's wrong with it? What? Because they make me feel funny. You know, I respect where people are coming from, but I'm iffy about a situation like that.
I think our biggest issue has been that we've almost had nothing, so much to a point that we feel that we need to have something of our own.
Yeah.
So we are so desperate to have something of our own that we want to call everything black, and then we want to exclude whites as if to show power, as to show that we are in control.
Yeah.
And it's understandable, especially on the basis that many of these formations, people come from a black consciousness perspective, right? And now from a black consciousness perspective, there's always been the idea that what whites primarily do is that even in their minorities, they will come to a black organizations and then they will still want to lead in ideas.
Yeah, true. Right? And you know whites are and like they will, that.
Yes.
They are like that, yes.
But now, the problem is that now they don't understand the dynamics in terms of the change in the environment, the change in the generations. Meaning that in 1970, a single white man can walk in a room full of 20 people and his ideas will be main and lead.
Yes.
But you can't tell me in this day and age,
a single white
person walks into a room and then all the ideas will be his. No.
Are we really that terrified of a
exactly,
white person?
Exactly.
Because you'll tell him to fuck off.
Exactly.
Like, come on, sit down.
In this
and
day
shut
and
up.
Age, yeah. it can't. So now it's understandable from the times of Biko why they did not want to include whites.
Because
for that mere fact that whites love to dominate when it comes to ideas.
Yeah. Back then.
Back then, because we would also allow them.
Yeah, bo.
Back then.
Yeah,
we
bo.
Would allow them. Mm. But not in this day and age.
Not today.
There is no way that we would allow that.
Mm.
So I think our fear stems from that, right? And then secondly as well is the fact that we would love to see spaces and movements and organizations where there's primarily blackness and whereby we can show that we don't need you, you know? But what we fail in other instances is to realize that this is a time where we become the convert, the missionaries.
Yeah.
So we should be converting people towards our ideas
and
all of that. So now we're making the white man black.
Yeah.
Right?
Because they made us white.
Exactly. Mm. So now we should be able to be so sure of ourselves that we can have five people coming in and then we'll make sure that when they leave, their ideas are black.
Yes, they buy into our ideology. They buy into how we see things. They adopt it in their homes. The same. That's how you influence.
And
that's how you change culture.
And you make them change agents and influencers in their societies because we don't have direct access to their societies.
Yes.
So now at least when they come
five
forth,
come in,
we influence the five and then they go and do the work for us.
Yeah.
It's the same how the missionaries do it. That's how you do it. You influence one and then the other goes and influences your society. So we are now, I'm not saying that it's wrong for black organizations to be blacks only and all of that. But all I'm saying is that I think this is the time where we should appreciate that the bigger challenge right now is for us to convert everyone into blackness.
Yeah. Away from whiteness.
Exactly.
And that takes time. And that takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And earlier you spoke about strategy, and that takes a lot of strategy. Mm-hmm. So for me to say cut them all out, they're not going to enter my space, is laziness. Yeah.
So now what a person like me would do,
yeah,
I would be part of a formation that's all inclusive.
Yeah.
But I would still know I'm not going to have a majority of whites there.
Yeah, no, of course.
Right?
We don't want them in a majority.
Exactly.
But we're not excluding either. Mm.
And then secondly, what a person like me would know is that if you want a blacks only space, you can create it in private. We have many of those. So you don't have to advertise it.
Yeah.
We have many of those, you know. I think this is what
black dinners, you know, there's a lot of black spaces.
You don't have to market them, you don't have to announce them, you don't have to promote them. That's the essential methodology of secret societies, and that's how they work. You don't have to advertise anything. You can still have your exclusive spaces without even saying anything.
Where your greatest ideas are developed, where your strategies.
And the problem now with these organizations that so profoundly are boldly saying we are blacks only is that they put so much attention onto themselves. So you immediately now put all the attention on yourselves. See how many problems BLF has had because they made it.
I'm going to interview him one day. Very soon, hopefully.
No, he's Andil is doing things. He's necessary.
We need everybody, you know? There's a book I love. It's called Everyone Belongs. Everything belongs.
He is the right kind of mad medicine that we need. And sometimes also we should appreciate. I think what also those blacks only groups should appreciate is that they are never going to grow into mass groups.
Yeah.
They're going to stay small.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is then, do they understand that? They don't. That's the problem. They don't understand that their models are never meant to be mass organizations. They're going to stay small. But now, with them not understanding that, they're going to fail because then they can't organize themselves so that they can function as that particular small organization.
I'm with you completely.
You know?
Okay, no, thank you for that. I see it exactly the way you see it and a little bit more, but I want to get more into your men's conference in June. What do you have in mind? Because I mean, we derailed after asking about Bailey, which I love. I'm gonna see him soon. I'm gonna see him when I come back to Joburg next time. So it's happening in June 16th?
Yeah, June 15 and 16.
Okay.
So it falls on that weekend. Holiday, it's public holiday. It's Youth Day and it's Father's Day that Sunday.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. Oh, so Fabu Twitter, another Facebook. Yeah, Father's Day. So Zizo, my father was useless.
Yes. So now, I think the basic idea about this conference is that what I've realized is that most of the time, the reason why we can't get our ideas spread right through society is because we've never written them down. We've never given them proper definition. And we all have our own different understandings, you know? So now the biggest issue currently now is, what is a man?
Yeah. What is a man? I want to pause this now so that we order and then we can take it from what is it. So what is a man, Bongani?
So I would not want to actually answer that, you know. I would not want to. I think that's why I'm also in favor of having the conference so that we can, as a society, really start to determine what a man is in a general sense. That it becomes inclusive of all South African men. A generally acceptable definition of a man.
Yeah.
Right?
But what do you suspect?
Because in terms of culturally as well,
yeah,
I'm a closer man.
Oh my God, so, and you know why I'm laughing.
So, I'm a closer man.
Yeah.
So now what it means to be a man in the closer sense is totally
but okay, you know what? Why do you always laugh? Because you know what? I live with a Xhosa man. One of my business associates is Xhosa, and I have a lot of Xhosa friends. And every time I talk about, you know, there's this code amongst Xhosa men that I can never ever read and I can never understand, but you all sort of get it. Everyone laughs first. What is this laughter?
I think
because you know, okay, let me continue. So my guy is kind of older, you know, he's older in terms of age, and he's an elder. He's recently been nominated as an elder in his entire clan and his whole family and all that. And I always say to him, you like to bully young men, what's going on? And then I'll say to the young man that I feel which is being bullied, which, hey, you know, and he'll laugh and he's like, yeah, we're gone there. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So culturally, Xhosa men.
We have our own understanding and our own understanding in terms of what it means to be a man. So those are some of the things that I would say that. Hence, I'm saying that we need to find a general something that is generally acceptable.
Yeah.
You
know.
Right.
Okay, and Zulu also have their own way.
Yes.
And yeah.
So now, what can we do in terms of finding that definition of a man that is generally acceptable amongst us as men? Right. And then, but still, we as persons will still gather on our own men.
and
do whatever what we do and say to each other. So we.
Okay, so what you are trying to say, and forgive me if I'm stepping forward, you are saying no one's culture should be butchered necessarily.
No, no.
However, so it's almost like the federal things, like this federal consensus, you know, the Xhosas do things this way, Zulu men, Tswana men, and so on. However, because we are all in South Africa or we are all in Africa, these are the generally accepted qualities, traits, behaviors that a man, regardless of tribe or clan or culture, should adhere to.
Yep. And that's what we need, right? And I believe what the men's conference has done. This one,
the funny one, the fake one.
It actually has given us a direction in terms of what needs to be done in terms of obtaining that cultural revolution, because a lot of things that are going wrong currently is because of the fact that we were lacking in terms of something that binds us culturally. All of us.
Yeah, no, you know? We are lacking.
We are lacking.
Even us
because,
women.
Yes.
Even us women.
So now we need that, and then it needs to start with defining what a man is. And then going back to what I said is the most important thing about what we need to do with this men's conference is that we need to define what a man is. And then also now we need to then write that down in book. It needs to be written down. Each and every boy should have it. Each and every boy should read and understand it and know it.
Yeah.
It has to be a literal book, you know? Christianity would never have been where it is without the Bible, you know? Because sometimes all you can do is introduce an idea to a person and then leave them with the paperwork, the book, you know?
That is powerful.
We have to have that, you know? So with this current men's conference is that we need to establish how we're going to develop that particular book. And that book needs to speak to what it means to be a man, what is his duty towards himself, his duty towards his children, his duty towards his home, his duty towards his community. Now, that's one aspect, and then that's the social aspect. Then come the economic aspect as well. What is his role in society in terms of contributing towards the economic factors? How does he respond to the economic factors? And then beyond then, what is his duty to his nation, right? So those are the three main things. Is self, and then in terms of how does he respond to the economic question, and then how does he respond to the national question? How does he integrate as a man of the nation and his duty to his nation? So now if you can have those three important things, you know, written down and be there in document format, then every man will know what his duty is. Every young boy will know what his duty is. what it means to be a man and what a man should do. And then the other thing, when I was saying about the poster, was that when the guys did the poster, then they decided to have some pictures on the poster. So now these pictures are pictures of men slapping women. I said no.
Do
no, no.
You see the man pincha meme? Oh my word, the way I love.
So then I said no, guys, but we can't have those pictures.
This, I need the showing remorse, don't they? Like, yeah, nine just my phone.
We need to have things of strength, things that are positive, and you know, things that are showing that what we need to build. You know, this is why even the conference itself is less going to be about what the trashy behavior.
Yeah.
It shouldn't focus on the trashy behavior. It should focus on the right things.
Yeah.
This is what we are doing right.
Yeah.
I mean, in science, for example, if you're testing a sample, 5% results are bad, 25% results are good. You don't focus on that 5%, you focus on the 95%.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So now, why should we focus on the necessarily that's bad, whilst we can say, let's look at the good